You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development and the United Nations Non-Governmental Liaison Service.
First of all, just to explain why I'm making this presentation normally, Jean-Luc Roux would have done it. He broke his back in an accident and he can't therefore travel over a period of time. So this is a project which is fairly important from the United Nations since the FAO is directly involved. And so he asked me to present the project. I've been familiar with the project from the start. But I don't know the field. It's Jean-Luc who covers that aspect. So I'm just filling a gap here out of need. The project is not a future activity. It is ongoing. And I will explain to you what the status is. It takes place in Madagascar, the southernmost part of Madagascar, in an area called Androy. It is a region that is fully experiencing climate change. So traditional crops are not working, so they have to be rethinking agriculture. And this is, in fact, a tool to accelerate that particular process. Among other things, there is an internationally known telecoms operator involved, but who doesn't wish for its name to be mentioned at this stage. There are some names, however, which are mentioned. So the aim, and there are four objectives which are related. The idea is to create lasting and resilient agriculture in the context of climate change, which can become the basis of the local or regional economy, because agriculture remains extremely important in this economy. We also want to improve the capacity or the ability of the most marginalized families to have access to a direct good, including just providing food for their children so as to make up for food deficit. So that's where we're at. That's the current phase. There are 13,000 families involved. Very impressive results have been seen so far. The FAO thinks it's the most rapid change they've seen in terms of agricultural processes. 13,000 families do not make up the whole population. The aim is to end the test. And we're at this point, that is to bring all the necessary partners together to carry out complementary studies so as to launch the pilot project with complementary currency. Currently, it's not money that's used, but rather vouchers, which are used to pay people and which are reimbursable with crops and seeds. And so they're channeled into the necessary directions. After the pilot project, which will take place in the future, we want to make this widespread as a system that would function at the regional level. So the idea is to cover the entire region consisting of 1 million people. This is a typical landscape that you will find there. The zebus is the main form of transport for 90% of the region. So cars are an exception. This is a photo of the FAO Center, which is used as a storehouse for crops. These are the vouchers I spoke about. So before the creation of the currency. So these are the vouchers that are used. The center is fed by wind power, powered by wind energy, and this is a market in which you can exchange the vouchers for food. And this is the number of distribution of sites and activities currently underway. So 100 by 20 kilometers. So that's just to give you an overview of the status of the project. I'm not going to go into all the details. This is a SOA, S-O-A, so Organic Agricultural System or Sustainable System. Sustainable Organic Agriculture. The main players are in this list here. Here are the various projects, the people involved, including children and their mothers, farmers who multiply crops in a new way, the coordinators for the food, the leader farmer, and those actually practicing this kind of farming. And this will filter down to those who will be planting new kinds of shrubs against the winds, which are posing a problem and which feed the animals. And so this is directly linked to the type of shrubs that are being planted. There are three advantages of the system as it now stands. The place, there's a particular place, a central point to which people go. It's less risky to have a stock of vouchers rather than a stock of seeds, because with rats and mice, you could lose a lot of that, so it's protected. And thirdly, corruption doesn't work with vouchers, so that's better than using national currencies. The next phase is to replace the vouchers with a currency which would not only be in paper form, but which could be used via mobile phones. And so that would be similar to the Palmas currency. Unmet needs. When I showed you the picture of the bridge, you have the crops, the seeds. You have the food complements, medical consultations, training, delivery supply, water supply, tax. And then there would be microcredit in the currency that would be introduced. So those are the unmet needs. What resources would be used? First of all, labor. There is organic waste and other elements that are being developed which are not fully developed. But that's the idea. How would it function? Well, let's look at the donors, the funders, first of all. Currently, we have this happen through this channel. These are the different channel projects. They could continue to do that partially, but most of the funds would go through the ARIARI, which is the national currency in Madagascar. And so, as I mentioned, the SOA now exists, but the name will be changed. So there's an ariary for each of the local currencies. And so the project would be funded through these different sources. Okay, we're not going to go over those details now. The project is now currently being financed by the European Union, 200,000 euros. A French non-governmental organization, GRET, the FAO, is also involved. And they thought that this was a very successful project. So that's the stage we find ourselves in. These are the observers. The European Union, World WWF, there is UNICEF, World Food Program. And so there's interest from various sectors. We have different farming groupings. You have those who create the crops. We have the leader farmers. And there are different rates between the national currency and the complementary currency. So that's a summary. It summarizes what I've just explained. So Jean-Luc would like to thank you all, including me. This is his email address, and he's available for any questions you might have. So if you have any questions, Jean-Luc Roux will be willing to answer them.
Just to clarify, so the FAO has been engaged in this from the beginning, but what was the dynamic in terms of getting this project moving? Was it the community in Madagascar that wanted to try this out? Was it a group of NGOs? And the other question is there was this cost of 200,000 euros. Is it the same system as the Palmas, where all the bonds can be convertible back into conventional currency, or yes?
Microphone, please.
I'm just going to answer the second question. They need to ask the first question to Jean-Luc. The big step is that the current vouchers are only used once, right? There's no actually circulation of the vouchers between the people. You have the people receiving the vouchers and cashing them in for either food or seats at the FAO center, okay? And with the currency, it would start circulating and doing multiple things like you have the status in the Palmas, okay? So that's where we are today, and so it's not really a currency yet. It's just a voucher used once.
Just to translate what just Jean-Luc has said, I'm going to summarize because I'm going to go straight to the point. The question was about the implication of FAO in the project and how it was linked with the community currency that is to be implemented. The FAO now is reflecting on financing and funding pre-feasibility study in order to implement the currency and give a structure, a little bit the architecture of the currency that could come from the model that the vouchers has raised as a possibility for the local agricultures, peasants, to diversify the fluxes of circulation of the goods within the community by demultiplying the possibilities for consumption and circulation among the territory, much larger than only that with the model that the SOA for the moment with the voucher allows. That's just to go very far, very very fast with the input of Jean-Luc. So if there are two questions, Because now that there is no translation, we have full time. Jean-Michel and Georgina, you have also one question.
Okay, it's about the cost and what we call in French hybridation des ressources, hybridation of resources. I don't know if it's the English expression. Because when you say, for example, GRET is a non-government organization, everybody knows in France that GRET is the French Minister of Cooperation, in fact. So it's state resources. So I would like to know, you know, the part of the private and local resources and the part of the public, Europe, France, and so on, resources. Because generally, this kind, and it's not a critic, but generally, we need a lot of financial resources for developing such a program, I think.
Bernard, if you can answer.
I don't have the detailed answers to your question, but I do know is the following, that the initial project, until this point, has been funded privately by the telecom company. Okay? So I don't know what the budget is, okay? But that has been the case. And the relay will be taken by the EU. And the channel of the infrastructure, the people on the ground to support it in order not to create a new team, is the GRET people. Okay? That's what I can tell you. But I don't know the numbers in detail. Thank you.
Check out our other podcasts, available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.